we're talking to Don Tapscott, and we would like to talk about the idea of communities, the potential of communities. So let's start with the basic things. How would you define a virtual community? What is it?
Well, most people think of a virtual community as a community on the internet that doesn't meet face-to-face. I don't like the term myself, because I think that that's a real community. It's not virtual. Just because you don't meet face-to-face doesn't mean you're some kind of second class when it comes to the citizenship of communities.
But what holds the net communities together?
Well, the internet radically drops transaction and collaboration costs. And that means that people can now come together in ways that were previously thinkable. And they're not coming together just to share information. They're coming together to share their intelligence. So I don't think this is an information age. I think it's an age of the networking of human intelligence. We can actually go beyond just creating communities to create some kind of collective intelligence, or maybe even some kind of consciousness that extends beyond an individual or a society.
Different communities have different potentials. How would you describe the potential of communities, political communities, for example?
Well, the potential is unlimited, really. Throughout the Industrial Age, we had a series of institutions that grew up. The old Industrial Age corporation, the old government bureaucracy that grew about the same time as the industrial corporation. We had old models of media, of schools and education, of science. We created physical cities. We created national states. And all of these institutions are institutions of a previous period in human history. And they're now being confronted both with the opportunity for transformation that's brought about by the internet and also by a new generation of digital natives for whom all of this is like the air. But it's also required, as increasingly when you look around the world today, we have a very broken world with a set of very deep problems, and our traditional institutions are proving to be inept and unable to solve these problems. So communities are not, you know, some cool thing that you might do on the side. The communities are, and multi-stakeholder networks are at the heart of the transformation of innovation, of government, of science, of the way that we learn, the way that we take care of ourselves, the way that we achieve social justice in the world.
So do you think that these virtual or real communities in the internet are able to solve problems that the old institutions are not able to?
Well, yes. But we're in the early days of understanding this. That's why I'm doing a big multi-million dollar research project on this topic. But the institutions that we have for solving problems in the world came out of the Second World War and the end of Bretton Woods. We saw the creation of the UN and the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and the Global Agreement on Trades and Tariffs and the World Trade Organization and the G20 and then the G8 and so on. All of these are they're necessary, but they're insufficient for solving problems in the world. Meanwhile, there are tens of millions of people who are organizing into multi-stakeholder networks. They're building communities that are both physical and not, or a combination of the two, and they're becoming material in the world. They're starting to solve some real problems around human rights, or around climate change, or cooking fires, or reducing conflict in parts of the world, or dealing with economic cooperation or poverty, you name it. So this is a time of great opportunity in the world.
This openness, the open world, is bringing empowerment and freedom is one of your topics. Where do you find this in our world today? And first of all, where are the limits?
The open world is bringing empowerment and freedom in the sense that, not in a motherhood sense, but in a real sense, people have real power. And it starts with knowledge being power, but they also have power through their connectedness and through their ability to connect their brains together and to share some intelligence to solve problems. They have power in the sense that these are huge forces that can exist on an astronomical scale. And they're not just about social movements like the, you know, in the Arab Spring or the Occupy movement or something like this. They're solving all kinds of problems, like scientific problems. Right now, there's something called Galaxy Zoo, where 275,000 amateur astronomers are categorizing all the galaxies in the world. And, you know, there are tens of thousands of patients with Lou Gehrig's disease cooperating together on a network called Patients Like Me, where they're sharing information about the disease, and this is creating a new platform for medicine and for science to better understand the disease and how to treat it. This is happening in every nook and cranny of the economy all around the world.
But although we all have this, what you mentioned, we still have the old problems like war, like starvation, we have climate change and all these things. So do you think we are capable of using this kind of openness at all?
Well, if we don't, civilization will come to an end because the old approaches to solving these problems don't work. You mentioned climate change. That's a good example. This is a big problem. You know, we have to do something fast and meaningful about this problem. So all of our nation states go off to Cancun or Copenhagen or Rio or whatever. They can't get any kind of meaningful agreement. Meanwhile, there are about, I estimate, 10 million people in the world that are organizing without states to do something about this problem. And they're not just slacktivists, as some people call them. They're really doing things. They're architects figuring out how to retrofit old buildings. They're scientists who are collaborating. They're kids in schoolyards trying to reduce the carbon emissions in their schoolyards. So what you have is a global movement, arguably the first time in human history, where the world is becoming mobilized around an issue, but where we're all on the same side. I mean, the world's been mobilized before around world wars, but we were on different sides. Now we're all on the same side. So it turns out the killer app for the internet may be saving the planet, literally.
But do you not think that web communities need to become manifest in societies? Means to become political parties or unions? To make their influence in societies manifest?
No, I don't agree with that. I think that they need to be able to influence existing institutions. But political parties and unions came out of the industrial age. Political parties are going away. They're becoming irrelevant. They used to be institutions for discussion, for policy, for people to get engaged in politics. Now, you look in the United States, the election today, they're simply institutions for fielding candidates and raising money. And young people are not engaged in political parties. I'm from Canada. There's an organization called Lead Now. It's a network of young people talking about politics. It has more people engaged than all of the Canadian political parties combined. So there's a huge crisis of legitimacy of our existing political parties. Now, unions, I think there is a role for unions. Unions came out of the industrial age where workers decided we need to be able to bargain not as individuals, but we need to be able to bargain collectively. And a big spirit of the age of networked intelligence is collective action and collective activity. But the old model of the unions are in deep trouble all around the world. Union membership is declining, and you have these fossilized old union bureaucracies that are not reaching out to people. And there are all kinds of other structural problems with unions, too. A big one being that young people can't get unionized jobs. So unions are becoming institutions of old people. So having said that, it's very important that many of these networks do form into organizations, though. A good example would be, you know, in Egypt. So you have a wiki revolution that can happen very fast and it can bring down a government. And up until 2 years ago, in all of human history, when there was a revolution, there was a leadership. And when the old regime fell, the leadership had the organization to be able to take power. Well, these wiki revolutions happen so fast, they create a vacuum. And politics abhors a vacuum, and people to fill the vacuum are typically the old regime or fundamentalists. And that's what's happening in Egypt. You got the old regime, you got the fundamentalists. The real Democrats and the people who believe in an open secular society don't have the organization to win an election. So increasingly, we need to use the media not just for bringing down an old government, but for building the organizations to bring about a new government.
But that's much more difficult, yeah? It's easier to bring down something, to destroy it, like in Egypt, than to build something new with this community and this structure.
Yeah. Well, they're both pretty hard. Bringing down a tyrannical government that's ruled and crushed its people for decades, that's not an easy thing to do either.
The community is one of the answers in the age of post-democracy.
Well, post-industrial age democracy. I still think that we need representative institutions, but the institutions that we created during the industrial age had a weak public mandate and inert citizenry. We can now create a new model of democracy based on representation, but with active citizenship and a culture of public deliberation.
But one problem I see with the internet is that it's very overloaded with information. You have so much information there, and it's also very diverse. Yeah, there are a lot of different people and a lot of different meanings. How can you come through that?
Well, it's going to get overloaded even more. Between the beginning of all of human history and 2003, we put 5 exabytes of information, recorded 5 exabytes of information, humanity did. In the last 12 hours, we created 5 exabytes of information. So get ready for even more. Now there are better tools to help us manage all this. We need to develop our own BS detectors, but the really important thing is that this is not about the information. This is not an information age. It's an age of collaboration. It's an age of networking. It's an age of communities. It's an age of collective intelligence.
Which particular community do you still miss?
Community? The internet has not displaced any of my communities in the physical world. It's enhanced all of them. Now, some I miss because I graduated from public school. I actually don't miss that very much at all.